Patricia Clarkson didn't get noticed in movies until she was in her late 30s and co-starred in the film High Art as the German lesbian lover of a photographer played by Ally Sheedy. Clarkson won Best Supporting Actress awards from the New York Film Critics Circle and the National Society of Film Critics for her role as the gossipy neighbor in Far From Heaven. This year, she was in 4 films at the Sundance Film Festival and won a special acting award for her work. 2 of those films are playing now, The Station Agent and Pieces of April. In The Station Agent, she plays an artist who's grieving for the loss of her young son and the end of her marriage. She becomes friends with 2 other lost souls, a hot dog vendor, and a dwarf who loves trains and has just moved into the abandoned train station house. He's played by Peter Dinklage. In this scene, Dinklage is walking down a country road and is nearly accidentally run down for the 2nd time by Patricia Clarkson's car.
Oh, my God, I can't believe this. I can't. I'm so sorry. Here.
Stay.
I saw you. I tried to put my cafe con leche down, and it spilled all over my ass, and it burned me weird. That's what swerved. Can I at least give you a ride back to your train station? The hot dog guy told me where you lived.
No, I'm fine.
You sure?
Yes.
You're fine. Ow.
The character Patricia Clarkson plays in The Station Agent is 40 years old. Clarkson says women that age are often one-dimensional in films. She appreciates how Tom McCarthy's screenplay made the character more specific and complex.
I think her sexuality was real. I think her pathos was real. Her humor was very present, which sometimes really can get lost as women age in film. And you know, just on a kind of fun or cheesy level, you know, I'm kind of the chick in the film, which is really great. You know, I get to kind of be the girl in the film, but a very complicated one.
Right.
Sorry.
In your other new film, Pieces of April, you play a mother who's dying of cancer.
Oh, yes.
And the family, you, your husband, played by Oliver Platt, two of your children, and your mother, are on the way to a Thanksgiving dinner, and it might be your last Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes.
And the dinner is being made by one of your daughters, who is, she's kind of like the punk outcast of the family.
Yes.
You've never gotten along with her, and she doesn't know how to cook. So she's in the position of having a turkey too big for her oven, and she has to, like, knock on every door in the apartment building she lives in this rundown Manhattan apartment, asking each of her neighbors for help.
Well, it's actually
with the
her oven doesn't work.
It doesn't work, that's right.
Yes.
Okay. So,
which actually, my oven in my apartment doesn't work, so I...
No, really?
Yes, I swear. I've lived in my apartment for about 8 years now, and my oven has never worked. I don't know what that says. Well, it says a lot about me, I think, but anyway.
It probably means we know a lot of the same recipes, which is the phone number.
Yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, so here you are. I want to play a scene from the movie. So here you are, you know, with your husband, 2 of your children, and your mother on the way for this perhaps ill-fated Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes.
And,
I think it's also important to know that, you know, I mean, my daughter and I have been estranged for quite some time.
Right,
I mean, I think all our lives has been a battle. The relationship has been a struggle from, I think, the get-go.
And here you are in the car, though, talking to your other children, your daughter Beth and your son Timmy, and being... Well, kind of critical of them.
I am so critical. It's one of my worst faults. And some of the reasons for this are obvious. But why I keep asking myself, why am I so hard, for instance, on you, Beth, when for years you've been the daughter of my dreams? You have, you know you have. Apart from your weight problems, we're practically the same person. So why am I so hard on you? I mean, forget the fact that you're making the same mistakes I made, and I wish you'd make your own. But I think I'm hard on you because we've had so many good times, and I think it's likely as this gets worse, Timmy, I'll be hard on you too because we've had so many good times. So then why am I hard on April when we didn't have any good times?
It's just not true, though.
My guest, Patricia Clarkson, in a scene from the new film Pieces of April. You're best known for your roles in independent movies, But your first movie role was in a big major motion picture, The Untouchables, directed by Brian De Palma, written by David Mamet.
Yes, that little independent film.
Yes, starring Kevin Costner. What did you think would happen to your career when that movie came out? You played Kevin Costner's wife in it.
Yeah, I had no idea. I was quite naive, Terry, and I'm, you know, I had gone, I was maybe 9 months out of the Yale School of Drama, and I wasn't studying film, and so I kind of thought, oh, this is going to be a great experience, and this will be fun, and, you know, it wasn't that demanding a role, obviously, and so I don't, you know, it's not like I thought, oh, my God, I'm in The Untouchables and I will be a star. You know, I never thought that. I never did. I knew I still had a journey. I did.
Well, did it lead immediately to anything else in movies?
It helped somewhat. I remember I went then right into a wonderful, actually smaller film called Rock of Gibraltar, which was one of, I think, Burt Lancaster's second to last film. And it was just this wonderful film. It was Kevin Spacey's first film, Bill Pullman, Franny Conroy, you know, God, Macaulay Culkin. I played his mother. It was his very first movie. He was 5 years old. So it led me actually maybe in a slightly different direction. I didn't go right into some big whammo studio film after that.
I think the movie that a lot of people really noticed you in was High Art.
Yes.
A film in the late 90s by Lisa Chelidenko, in which an intern at a hip magazine tries to get some new work out of a famous photographer who's disappeared, in part because she's so drugged up. And Ally Sheedy plays the photographer. She's a lesbian, and she seduces the intern. You play Sheedy's German lover, Greta, who used to act in the films of Verna Fassbinder. And I want to play a scene from this movie in which Ally Sheedy has told you that she's leaving and you're very angry.
What are you doing then? I mean, you just kicked me out, didn't you? What am I supposed to do now? Just get on a plane? Just go back?
No, you don't have to go back. I understand. Your life is here.
No, it's not. I don't have a life here. I came here to be with you so that you could have a life here. I had everything in Berlin. I had a great career.
Greta Fassbinder's dead, okay? You didn't have a career after that.
You are so spoiled. You are spoiled and selfish, and you think the whole f-ing world revolves around you. You're a dilettante, Lucy. That's what you are. You
never. That's Patricia Clarkson
anything.
And Ally Sheedy in a scene from the film High Art. Can you talk about creating this character of Greta? I should mention here, in case I didn't before, that she's very addicted to drugs.
Yes. It's interesting, Terry, because, you know, this film really, you know, is enormously special to me, for lack of a better word. But
hey, I wasn't even sure if you were German or not when I saw this.
Oh my God. Well, that's the greatest compliment. No, I'm serious. It did happen, and I find it shocking that people didn't. It's Patricia Clarkson. Like, she was Elliot Ness's, you know, she was in the movie, you know what I mean? And no, my agent got many calls about that, and which is flattering and wonderful for many reasons. But it was such an extraordinary experience because it did come at a time. I mean, it did rescue me in many ways, this film, and I'm always, forever thankful to Lisa Chelidenko for many, many reasons. And I was fortunate. I had known this German woman all my life. I just had her voice in my ear. She was a kind of famous literary agent. One of my dearest friends in the whole world is Richard Greenberg, the playwright, and she had represented him for many years. So I just was lucky. I took that. And I'd never done heroin in my life, but I, you know, unfortunately have known people, and I met a heroin addict and, you know, kind of extracted and extrapolated and went from there. And you know, I've never done any drug in my life, which is odd, you know.
Now, you were already, what, in your late 30s when you did
I was 38 when I shot, or 30, I can't remember. I was 37 or 38 when I shot High Art. Yes.
Okay, so in some ways, that's when your real film career begins.
Oh, absolutely.
But that's also the age in which a lot of actresses start losing work because they're no longer young enough to be the romantic interest in films. Is there something to be said for never having been the ingenue? Because that way you don't have to change your image and outgrow
yes.
it. Do you know what I mean? You don't have to prove yes. that you're capable of something else.
Yes. I think there is a lot to be said for that. That I am not someone who had to deal with losing the losing that gossamer shimmer, having it fade.
Mm-hmm.
I just never quite had it. And so now I have kind of like a patina, like an old, you know, now I could just step into film with like, and now I feel like people are oddly started to discover my sexuality in a different way because I am older and as I've said, I think I'm actually given sexier parts now than I ever was, and that thrills me to no end. And
in some part being in radio that I always listen a lot to actors' voices, and I think you have a really interesting and kind of deep husky voice that gives a lot of character.
Yes, and I've had this voice all my life, and I think that's something I've also battled. And I think I've had to, you know, I had to grow into this voice, my face, my body. I think I was just meant to really, you know, come into my own at an older time.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, I guess, in some sense, or people started to recognize that. And you know, unfortunately in our business, it is somewhat more the exception than the rule. But I don't know, I feel things shifting in the business.
When you were young and, you know, doing theater in public school, did you think of yourself as heading toward comedy or drama?
I think I was always attracted to both, but I think I probably ended up doing more drama. And you know, like in my senior year at Fordham, you know, I played Hedda Gabler, you know, but then I got to Yale and I started to really do some wild and very crazy stuff, and suddenly I was at home, and I had rushes of feeling and excitement that I hadn't really experienced doing just really kind of wild and crazy stuff. And I, little did I know that it was kind of preparing me for kind of my life now.
So what's an example of something wild and crazy for you?
You mean at Yale?
Yeah.
Well, I played an 8-year-old murderer. Dick Beebe, this incredible writer at Yale, took the bad seed and turned it into this kind of wild cabaret. That's where a lot of the crazy stuff. But I played like the bawd in Pericles. But I played this. He took the bad seed and turned it into this wild crazy. And I had to tap dance, and I was an 8-year-old murderer. And then I was a big Cajun mama. In an afro and a muumuu. It was just a wild ride.
Now, you're speaking to us now from a studio in Montreal. You're
yes.
in Montreal
on
location for a movie that you're doing that's a thriller.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I know for some actors, they get so deep into character for a movie that they're doing that I think they hold on to some of that even when they're off the set. Are you right now in any of the space of that movie, or do you leave that behind?
Oh, I can leave that behind. if you knew the character I was playing in this movie, it's fortunate I left that behind. And that's not to say there isn't sometimes a slight residual effect within your life, when, you know, certainly with, like, when I did Pieces of April, and when you've done certain characters, or even Greta in High Art, you know, they're harder to shake sometimes. But when I'm in the midst of working, you know, today is my day off, and I wake up and I'm Patricia, and I'm okay with that.
Good. Well, Patricia Clarkson, thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you so much, Terry. This was a real treat for me.
Patricia Clarkson is starring in two new films, Pieces of April and The Station Agent. Fresh Air's executive producer is Denny Miller. Our engineer is Julian Hertzfeldt. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Roberta Schurock directs the show. I'm Terry Gross.